The wind whipped at his robe, driving the black clouds overhead. What does that make him?
A sorcerer, as you are well aware.
Thunder rolled on cue. What is his destiny? Shouted Ipslaw above the rising gale. Death shrugged again. He was good at it.
Sorcerers make their own destiny. They touch the earth lightly.
Ipslaw leaned on the staff, drumming on it with his fingers, apparently lost in the maze of his own thoughts. His left eyebrow twitched. No, he said softly. No. I will make his destiny for him.
I advise against it.
Be quiet and listen when I tell you that they drove me out with their books and their rituals and their lore. They called themselves wizards, and they had less magic in their whole fat bodies than I have in my little finger. Banished, me, for showing that I was human. And what would humans be without love?
Rare,
said Death.
Nevertheless,
listen, they drove us here to the ends of the world, and that killed her. They tried to take my staff away. Ipslaw was screaming above the noise of the wind. Well, I still have some power left, he snarled, and I say that my son shall go to the Unseen University and wear the Arch-Chancellor's hat, and the wizards of the world shall bow to him, and he shall show them what lies in their deepest hearts, their craven, greedy hearts. He'll show the world its true destiny, and there will be no magic greater than his.
No.
And the strange thing about the quiet way Death spoke the word was this. It was louder than the roaring of the storm. It jerked Ipslaw back to momentary sanity. Ipslaw rocked back and forth uncertainly.
What?
He said.
I said no. Nothing is final. Nothing is absolute. Except me, of course. Such tinkering with destiny could mean the downfall of the world. There must be a chance, however small. The lawyers of fate demand a loophole in every prophecy.
Ipslaw stared at Death's implacable face.
I must give them a chance?
Yes.
Tap, tap, tap went Ipslaw's fingers on the metal of the staff.
Then they shall have their chance, he said, when hell freezes over.
No, I am not allowed to enlighten you, even by default, about current temperatures in the next world.
Then, Ipslaw hesitated, then they shall have their chance when my son throws his staff away.
No wizard would ever throw his staff away. The bond is too great.
Yet it is possible. You must agree.
Death appeared to consider this. Must was not a word he was accustomed to hearing, but he seemed to concede the point.
Agreed.
Is that a small enough chance for you?
Sufficiently molecular.
Ipslaw relaxed a little. In a voice that was nearly normal, he said,
I don't regret it, you know. I would do it all again. Children are our hope for the future.
There is no hope for the future.
What does it contain, then?
Me.
Besides you, I mean.
Death gave him a puzzled look.
I'm sorry?
The storm reached its howling peak overhead. A seagull went past, backwards. I meant, said Ipslaw bitterly, what is there in this world that makes living worthwhile? Death thought about it.
Cats,
he said eventually.
Cats are nice.
Curse you!
Many have.
How much longer do I have?
Death pulled a large hourglass from the secret recesses of his robe. The two bulbs were enclosed in bars of black and gold, and the sand was nearly all in the bottom one.
Oh, about 9 seconds?
Ipslaw pulled himself up to his full and still impressive height and extended the gleaming metal staff towards the child. A hand like a little pink crab reached out from the blanket and grasped it.
Then let me be the first and last wizard in the history of the world to pass on his staff to his 8th son,
he said slowly and sonorously.
And I charge him to use it to...
I should hurry up if I were you.
The full, said Ipslaw, becoming the mightiest...
The lightning screamed from the heart of the cloud, hit Ipslaw on the point of his hat, crackled down his arm, flashed along the staff and struck the child. The wizard vanished in a wisp of smoke. The staff glowed green, then white, then merely red hot. The child smiled in his sleep. When the thunder had died away,